How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
Much of what we heard from President Trump throughout this census shutdown has been full of misinformation and even malice.
We don't govern by temper tantrum.
Imagine if it was your child, your husband, or your wife.
Manufacturing a crisis.
At the request of Democrats, it will be a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall.
The women and children at the border are not a security threat.
So sad, so terrible.
How do we untangle this mess?
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage.
Treated as leverage.
Call Congress and tell them to finally, after all of these decades, secure our border.
Reopen the government.
End this shutdown now.
Thank you and good night.
Televised political theater and no end in sight. Meanwhile, it's day 19 of the partial government shutdown, and government employees across the country continue to go without pay. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In the week before Christmas, Sarah Ferris at Politico asked Republican Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania about the impact of the shutdown on federal employees. His response?
You know, who's living that they're not going to make it to the next paycheck?
A lot of people.
But you got to plan a little bit, right?
Well, here's what some of those federal employees told us. From Chicago, Illinois, my spouse and I have stopped searching to buy our first house, and we're using our down payment to pay the bills.
My name is Monica from Lebanon, Oregon. My husband, a member of the Air Force and an HPSP student, did end up getting paid on January 1st. I've been doing some research to see if we will continue to be paid as usual because the Department of Defense is apparently funded through September 2019, but I'm getting conflicting information about how things will work out as the shutdown continues. The time has also arrived to register for board examinations, which require an upfront payment of over $1,000, and we're concerned that reimbursement will take even longer than usual as things are getting continuously behind.
And the reality extends far beyond government employees. 4 in 10 adults say they could not produce $400 in an emergency without sliding into debt or selling something. That's according to 2017 figures. And a lot of you, our listeners, are feeling the same.
My name is Alex. I'm in Oklahoma City. I live paycheck to paycheck and hope for the best. My VA benefits provide enough of a cushion that I won't go homeless or hungry, but my debt-to-income ratio is so high that if I lose my job, I'll instantly be forced to file bankruptcy.
Hi, this is Shane McManus. I'm calling from Morgantown, West Virginia. Here in Morgantown, we are way below the national average in terms of the minimum wage for people my age. I'm 30 years old, and I personally am going from paycheck to paycheck. If I'm lucky and I have a family that I have to support, I don't think President Trump really understands what the average American goes through.
Harry Holzer is with us. He's a professor of public policy at Georgetown and former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. It's good to have you back with us, Harry.
Nice to be back.
Let's start where what we're told when it comes to savings. I mean, we hear this thing about on average, you should have a 6-month emergency fund. Is that realistic?
Well, most people happen to not even come close to that number. The average cash savings by American families, and here I'm not including retirement funds, 401ks, or the value of your home. The average cash savings is about $4,000. That's the median. If the median is $4,000, that means a whole lot of people have much less than that.
I want to talk a little bit about why that is, but you mentioned retirement accounts. What about in that area? I know a lot of those accounts are accounts that you can't pull on necessarily, and if you do, you get penalized if you pull on them too early. But what are those accounts looking like for Americans?
Well, people do have more money in those accounts, but there again, people below average income, below middle class income, often have very little in those accounts, if they have any at all. And of course, younger workers, people in their 20s, their 30s, maybe just starting a family, they tend to have very little money in those accounts as well. Savings are something that take many, many years to accumulate.
One of the things that's always been interesting to me is the difference between how income and wealth influence this conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, I guess the question I'm trying to get at is, why do so few Americans have enough cash savings?
One of the issues is that certainly savings is related to people's incomes. And Americans like to consume. They like to spend their money. There's lots of things we have to spend our money on. And incomes have really stagnated for Americans over several decades now, except at the top, except for the top 10, 20%. So people's incomes have not grown enough to give them room to save. And really what you find is that, you know, savings do grow with people's incomes, but they grow fairly modestly until you get to that top end, until you get to the sort of 20, 25% range, and then they really start taking off. Then people have enough money to live their lifestyles and still put away.
In the introduction, we mentioned Scott Perry, who is a Republican congressman of Pennsylvania, and was asked by a reporter, you know, what can families do who don't have this savings? And Perry basically said, you know, people have got to plan a little bit. And I've seen this also come up in social media where, you know, people are sort of commenting on the fact that federal employees should have planned better or should have some money in savings. That doesn't seem to be realistic, Harry. I mean, are people at this point, when they don't have the money, what do they do? Are they turning to credit cards? Are we getting further in debt?
Yes, I would think that borrowing of one type or another is what they fall back on primarily. Now, again, to get formal loans from a bank, you have to have good credit ratings, and a lot of these folks don't have that. Yeah, so they might pile up some credit card debt, and my guess is that they also turn to family and close friends for assistance. You know, whether it's cash assistance or help us out with childcare or something like that to try to get through these times.
What do you make of that idea that that Americans just should have saved, that these folks should have just planned better? It feels slightly cavalier to me to assume that when the savings rate is as low as it is.
Well, it is cavalier. It is cavalier. And, you know, maybe that congressman should be more critical of this ridiculous shutdown, which is causing these people the financial hardship, rather than criticizing the people themselves. And again, I do favor a set of efforts to try to nudge Americans to save more, to plan ahead, you know, financial literacy, financial education, other savings incentives. Having said that, when incomes for folks have been low or stagnating for decades, that's a problem too, and that's going to feed this problem. So it's terribly cavalier for the congressman to so easily dismiss people's hardship. And while I favor efforts to get people to save more, let's be a little more sensitive and try to alleviate their hardship.
You know, there have been more than 20 federal government shutdowns, partial or complete, in the past 40 years. And these federal jobs have long been considered good jobs. I mean, this was the type of job that someone was supposed to get and would stay with for 20 years, 30 years, and get a good pension. And are these jobs, is this an indication that these jobs are no longer the golden egg, I think, that many people thought they might have been?
Well, that's true to some extent, because increasingly you see these jobs contracted out to private firms acting as contractors. And in those cases, the jobs are not necessarily as good. The wages may not be as high. The benefits may not be as strong. So to that extent, to the extent that folks work for contractors, they're not as good as they were. But even someone in a good public job, a public job that might be better than their private sector counterpart, if the pay isn't that high, or if people are still young. Now, again, remember, people in their 20s, their 30s often have not had time to lay away any serious cash. You know, they have to pay off the debt they're piling up when they're getting educated. They might be trying to buy a home and have to put down a down payment. So there's lots of reasons why people in their 20s and 30s, even if they have decent jobs, may not have accumulated many assets yet, especially cash savings.
What does all this mean for the economy as a whole? When Americans can't save the level that they need to or should be saving, when a lot of Americans, and not just federal employees, but we're hearing from a lot of Americans who say they're living paycheck to paycheck. What does that do to our economy? Which, by the way, we keep hearing unemployment is low. These are good, booming economy, but yet Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
That's right. I mean, it shows up as a problem in circumstances like this, where something goes wrong and people can't work. The last time there was a lot of attention on this in the media was actually during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, where a lot of people were caught off guard. They couldn't use their cars. They couldn't stay in their homes. And yet they had no money to travel to a different city, to stay in a hotel, et cetera, which is why so many people, you know, crammed into that awful sports arena. But so when things go bad, they can feel the lack of savings. But it's really more of a long-term problem for a lot of people. Your assets don't grow over time if you haven't been putting money away. So when it gets time to send your kid to college, there may be too little money to finance that. In other ways, having assets gives people some upward mobility, enables them to move ahead. And so people without those assets are going to have more trouble doing that.
I always say, Harry, it takes money to make money, really.
Well, that's right. That's right. Or at least it does take some savings out of the money you have. So we know, that, for instance, whether or not kids can go to college often depends on how much their parents have put away. You know, and of course, for the economy overall, it's not such a great thing to have such a low savings rate because it's harder to accumulate capital, which is good for the economy. And we have a debt problem in America at all levels, right? We have households have a bit of a debt problem, companies have a debt problem, and the federal government has an enormous debt problem. So the lack of household savings to me is a piece of a larger picture. Where Americans have trouble accumulating the assets they need over time.
What can they do? What can we all do better to save more?
First of all, I do think financial literacy and financial education is something important that people should get fairly early in life. I think there are things that the federal government can do to make it easier for people to save. For instance, you know, trying to encourage everybody to have a 401k where they work and make that the default option for people, not something that they have to choose. There are incentives, you know, government matching can be done, especially for low-income people when they put money away. So there's things that we can do to nudge people to do more saving. And of course, it would be very nice if people's incomes start rising again, and you know, especially for non-college educated workers. And there's a whole policy agenda on that side that we could talk about, better education, better quality jobs, et cetera, that would certainly help as well.
Harry Holzer is a professor of public policy at Georgetown and former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Harry, thank you as always.
Thank you, Tanzina.
My husband works for Social Security. This time around, I think he'll still get his paycheck this Friday for the previous 2 weeks because they keep saying that it's a partial shutdown. We have retirement savings, but we happen to have our taxes from last year. I just haven't used it up, so we'll be okay. But if it continues into the next paycheck after this Friday, you know, things will be a hassle. We won't, you know, have enough for that. My name is Jennifer, Northern California.
My name is Jordan. I'm calling from the Dallas, Oregon. I bought a house earlier in the year, and it has wiped out my savings for the down payment. I'm trying to be frugal and rebuild it as fast as possible because currently I can maybe survive 1 month without pay or with a small medical emergency, but it is very stressful to be in such a precarious position.
Hi, this is Brian from Chester County, Pennsylvania. The shutdown has negatively impacted our family. I'm a residential real estate appraiser and have seen FHA mortgage appraisals slow over the last few weeks.
Call us with your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. And while you're on Twitter, check out our poll. We want to know, how much money do you have saved for an emergency or sudden job loss? Tell us on Twitter. Again, we're at The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.